Thank you. Whoever you are, wherever you come from, we welcome you. Are we all in on that?
Amen.
All right, good. Let's see if we're still all in on the chalice lighting too. We light our flaming chalice to celebrate in universalism. This is the church of the open mind. This is the church of the helping hand. And this is the church of the loving heart. May it be so.
Remembering that each of us is different, including this chicken here that does not have a name. If you would like to name this chicken, I've had him for several years and he does not have a name. For $1, you may submit a name until 6 o'clock today, and that dollar, all those dollars, will go to the scholarship fund. So submit them to me. And then tomorrow morning we will announce his name, and he will keep that name. He is going to go home with me, though, because he has a little job. Thank you. A job to do at my congregation. He gets hidden around my congregation to surprise me. Refrigerator, pulpit, storage cabinets, things like that. So, all right. More serious things. So we do gather, remembering that each of us is different. Some of us are vertically challenged. Some of us are tall. Our hair can be pink, purple, blue, gray, and then change to something else the very next day. Some of us like to play euchre, and some of us like to play peek. Some of us spend our afternoons playing ultimate frisbee, and some of us like to take naps. Some of us love chickens. Some of us love cats. Some of us write letters. Some of us tweet. Some of us waltz. Some of us twerk. Some of us can't get enough of the ice cream in the cafeteria, and some of us can't get enough of the coffee outside the sanctuary. Some of us craft, and some of us yoga. We're different, but alike, because we're surrounded by love. We all do our best, and we are all in. Let us rise in body or spirit to sing Rise Up, O Flame. Let us join in a spirit of meditation and prayer. Each of us is called to give ourselves the love we deserve and help others discover that hope is possible for them too. We are all someone's sun. We are all someone's water. Call it kindness, a promise of being more helpful to those in need, to smile at strangers, to say yes to life, to be compassionate, to listen, to support, and to believe that you are enough, to praise rather than criticize and accept rather than reject, to pause before complaining, and to practice vulnerability and let people in. Let us enter into the silence.
And talk to me, don't talk to the kids.
Okay. So have I ever acted in an unlovable manner and been loved anyway? All the time. I'm what are, in the last 5 minutes?
So I teach middle school. So I am unlovable and loved every single moment of my workday. I also feel am unlovable and get all kinds of love in the folk orchestra here because I am really, really bad, and they don't seem sad to see me back every day, so that's also a very nice part of my day.
I know that at times that I don't deserve the love that some of my friends and family give me, and I have just decided not to tell them that I don't deserve it, but just to take it in and enjoy the heck out of it.
Usually I get a lot of love from the folks that I work with, and they kind of know where I am in the day and what's going on, so they know the difference between my mean face and my frowning thinking, and so, yeah, I think, yeah, there's times when I've done both of those things.
When I've acted most unlovably is actually when I am most desperately trying to seek love and affection and approval. So the more I'm trying to prove myself and be worthy and try hard, the more I push against folks in ways that are uncomfortable.
It's like I'll care something about something and I can lose the fact that there's other people with me. And they're people, and not just there to do what I'm doing. And I've really worked in the past like year and a half to reconnect with the human element and really make connections with the people I'm doing my activities with. Like I play music, and it's about the people that I play the music with and not just the music. So that's, yeah.
And so then how do people show you love? Even when you're acting like that, how do you know they're showing you love?
They'll still, like, invite me in, and we'll, like, have fun and do things together, even when I've been, like, really not enjoyable to be around during, like, a rehearsal or something. And we'll still all go and hang out, and we can be people outside of that, even when I'm not really making that easy.
Struggle with mental history, and so when I have a personal relapse, like, oh darn it, I don't feel good again, and like a really not that great, I don't feel good, it can be disappointing for my family and those who have tried to help me, because there's so much energy and support put into me, and thank you. And then I just kind of forget to pick up the pieces. But people still help me anyway. And that's really just so amazing to me.
I'm thinking about a few years ago when I had my knee replaced and was suffering in fairly significant pain. My friend Sidra, who was fighting breast cancer, came over and lay on my bed next to me and helped me count through my exercises so that I could stand the pain to do the exercises so that I could get better. She was a wonderful friend. Some of you may have known her. I miss her every day.
I've been pretty sick for a couple of years, and I have a lot of bad days where I'm under the weather and snippy and mean and grumpy, and I have a great family who walks me through it and loves me through it and has infinite patience with me, so it's pretty nice.
I used to be kind of wild, and I met this girl, and we were married for 49 years, and she trained me before she died.
My very first SI, and I was here with my mentee from coming of age, and she was nagging me and calling me mean, and I said, almost shouted at her, I'm not mean, and I was being pretty unlovable, and Krista and Nancy, who I didn't even know, came up and gave me a big hug and said, no, you're not mean, you're just tired.
just 2 days ago when we were here, my son, who is six, lost a tiny little cheap plastic frog that I had thrown away not knowing it was his. And about an hour later when he was looking for it, I had to fess up, you know, what I had done. And he was very upset with me, but then instead of just writing it out, I got mad back, like, it wasn't my fault.
Well, certainly, yeah, and especially amongst my family. That, to me, is kind of the definition of family. That's what unconditional love means, is that you can behave without any guard, and people around here tend to have their guard down and are not always real careful, as we shouldn't be. We want to be our authentic selves, and sometimes our authentic selves ain't that pretty, but we're loved anyway, and that's part of this, what makes this community special, and it's part of course, what makes family special.
I work in a kitchen, and it can get very tense, and my boss is just sort of a gruff, old-fashioned man, but he comes in and says, ask questions, and I'm able to respond without concern for tact, or I'm able to show my frustration in my answer. And it's not so much that he shows me love, but just lets that go and gives me the space to be an unlovable person, and it's something that I have appreciated.
You do things that are not lovable, but people love you anyway. So it's one of the wonders of life that that happens.
Till I find it.
So my Grandma Pete, yes, that was her name, was a 4'8" powerhouse of a woman. Now, my grandparents owned a bar and steakhouse, and my grandfather was the chef, and my grandmother was the bartender. And let it suffice to say that her vocabulary was colorful. And she did not hold back even when her 5-6-year-old grandchildren were around. And she could tell you off with a smile. The grandkids rarely received gifts from Grandma. She never baked cookies or sent greeting cards. And she had a way of pushing you aside with her tiny little arms instead of saying, "Excuse me." And she always announced publicly that she needed to use the biffy. That's the restroom for anyone who doesn't know what that means. And she always was sewing clothes for all of us kids. And when it was time to try them on, she'd say, "Strip!" in front of everyone. Most of her neighbors thought her improper. But you knew where you stood with her. She befriended people in the 40s and 50s, in the 1940s and 50s, that many considered to be on the fringes of society at the time, same-sex couples, the homeless, and recovering addicts. I heard her say more than once of those who disapproved of her, "I love you, honey, but to hell with you." My Grandma Pete gave and got what some people might call ugly love. Ugly love is loving someone when they are wonderful and when they are not. Valuing someone for all the good in them and loving them even when they are behaving somewhat in an unlovable way. All congregations should practice this kind of love. And all denominations should. And when they do, we refer to them as an authentic church. But Brian Wilkerson, the senior minister of an evangelical megachurch in Boston, says that few congregations practice what they preach. He believes that evangelicals and UUs do it well. He says the similarities he sees is that there's a low bar of entry. You can believe anything or nothing and be welcomed through the door. There's a strong emphasis on community and an absence of too much ritual in our congregations. He says the only difference is that in either congregation, you can come as you are. But in an evangelical congregation, you can't stay that way. While Christian churches are trying to transform people into believers, we start in our church and then we try to transform the world. And the way we begin in our congregations is giving unconditional love. We begin with ourselves. We begin then showing unconditional love to one another, and then we go out in the world and do the same. We engage in reciprocal ugly love. And that's why it drives me crazy when I hear my greeters say, "This isn't a typical Sunday." How many people have heard that in their churches? Yes, okay. Okay, so I want to know what is. Because nothing is typical. Okay, let's not apologize for being us. Right? Trust me, folks, before long, visitors are going to figure out what they're seeing is not an anomaly, okay? They come a couple times, it's over, folks. Okay, so as long as we all agree to love one another, we share a common vision, and as long as we say, I'm okay with disagreements, weird habits, and I'm also okay with maybe occasionally hearing some language that I might not like, we're okay. We're okay. So each of our congregations should be operating on the principle that as long as you love diversity and compassion and freedom and tolerance and reason, you'll like it here. But you'll have to love us when we're ugly. But we'll give it right back to you. But sometimes it's all too much for some folks, and they try to look for somewhere else to become fulfilled. Even ministers. And that's what happened to one in the late 60s when he sought meaning and ultimate happiness somewhere else. So he took a 6-week leave of absence from his church. He went to Japan. He shaved his head. He got a robe. And he figured he had just enough time in those 6 weeks, as he put it, to suddenly be hit by a mighty wave of comprehension beyond words. Well, the sitting became very painful. The food made him sick. And his back ached from sleeping on a wooden plank. Before the 6 weeks ended, he decided to leave. But beforehand, the master of that temple asked to see him. And the master rarely spoke to any of the monk tourists, which is what they were called. And so he thought, gosh, I'm so honored. So he figured that monk has life figured out, so this may be my big chance before I leave. So they were both sitting facing one another and sitting on cushions. And suddenly the master leaned to one side, and he started scratching his rear. And the master finally spoke, and he said, I have hemorrhoids. And they hurt, and they itch, and they come from stress, you know, from worrying about tourists burning down this fire trap, from trying to keep this place in repair, from arguing with my wife and my children, who aren't as holy as I am. And from despairing over the quality of these lazy young fools who want to become monks. Sometimes I think I would just like to leave and go to Hawaii and play golf the rest of my life. And then the master leaned to the other side and scratched his rear. He said, you know, it was this way before I became enlightened, and it's still this way even now that I am enlightened. Then he stood up, and he motioned for the minister to follow him, and he took him to the entrance of the temple where there was an ancient scroll hanging on the wall, and he told the minister, it's time for you to go home. He said, because you are a thirsty man looking for a drink, and all the while you are standing in knee deep in a flowing stream. And then the master read the scroll, which was written in Japanese, and he read it in English to him. And this is what it said. There is really nothing you must be, and there is really nothing you must do. There is really nothing you must have, and there is nothing you must know. There is nothing you must become. However, It helps to understand that fire burns. And when it rains, the earth gets wet. And then the master said, whatever, there are consequences. Nobody is exempt. He winked at the minister, and he walked away, scratching his rear. My friends, the ones we really need are those who will love us when we are most unlovable. And I am willing to guess they are closer to us than we think. Let us sing together, We Would Be One.
Invite you to reach out and either take the hand of someone near you or place a hand on their shoulder, or if you're standing by yourself, opening those hands out as a gesture of welcome to those who will be here soon. As we leave this time together, as we extinguish our chalice, remember that the hands you hold, these are the ones you will love. And who will love you around and through those moments that you might feel unlovable. Let us take this light and this love with us throughout the day. Make it so.
Amen. Announcements! We have a new face.
Yay!
One quick one about our videos. Are you enjoying those videos at all? The man who's been putting those together and probably staying up till 1 a.m. is way back in that corner. Barrett, right there, man. Yes! You all responded so wonderfully yesterday that we pretty much have enough coverage for tomorrow, but if you are dying to still record, you see me, and you can still get on film tomorrow, okay? And if you didn't see yourself yet, everyone is going to be seen tomorrow. So thank you so much, everyone who has come to see us. I really appreciate it.
Good morning. My name is Liz Bright, and I'm the assistant chair this year, which means I will be the chair next year. So so in preparation for that, I'm doing the announcements this morning. And I heard the last of Reverend Kerr's, one of the words she mentioned was consequences. And this will be the first announcement. If you are parked by Asia House, the front or the side, or anywhere behind Stevenson, they're going to be ticketing as soon as this service is over. So please, if you're parked there, look at your parking map. You can see where you can park, but it isn't in any of those spaces. Okay, I'm going to go over some of the announcements briefly that you'll see on the mobile site and up in the back. Talent show signups are at the info station in the lunchroom. Tryouts are today at 1:45 at the Cat and the Cream. If you don't sign up, still show up at the Cat and the Cream, and they'll fit you in. Peak is at 7 p.m. tonight instead of the usual 6:30 to get set up. Prizes need to be in the one of those small rooms in the cafeteria. Before or by noon. If that's one of your work shifts, please be there by noon to pack the bags. And if you're helping with Peak, they'll need you at 6:30 in the cafeteria. We also have Pie in the Sky or Face. Our young adults will be doing outside Barnard on the street side, which you could see it from the cafeteria. They'll to help with a scholarship fund, they'll be taking donations to throw a pie in the face of not only young adults, but some very notable people. So please support the. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Euchre is 6:30 tonight in the science building. In the science building. Tonight for Hogwarts, there's a night challenge, 8 p.m. in front of Barrows. The youth overnighter is tonight in Coffee House. Please pay attention to the RE coordinator recruitment at the north part of the cafeteria by the bookstore. There are openings in the UU Society of Cleveland, the Kent Church, Oberlin, and Southwest UU that are looking for coordinators. Stop by. It might be the position of your lifetime. In Barnard Lounge today at 3:15, there is a discussion group for White Allies for Social Justice. And if you don't know where Barnard is, it's in the same space. It's right behind where the duct tape art space, body art, are set up. You just go in through the doors, and it's to the left in the lounge. Also, the UU Church of Oberlin has extended an invitation for lunch on Saturday as you're leaving to stop by if you'd like to meet and say goodbye to people. You can do that there and eat as well. The dishes that are in the cafeteria remain in the cafeteria. If you happen to have some that you might have taken to your room or over here to First Church, please take them back. They're not supposed to leave that area. They would appreciate that. Please lock. Make sure your children or you lock your bikes up. One was taken last night, and it would be best if you make sure the locks are on there. My favorite part of this is a shout-out. I want to say to Hal Walker, Hal Dixler, and Vanessa Vesley, Pat Lori, Alan Halperin, and Carol Golden, the music that is provided here today makes my week, and I'm sure others. So thank you.
I'd also like to have a shout out for Brad Bolton, who is the photographer. And if you have pictures that you want to submit, go to the mobile site. He takes amazing photos and works really, really hard, and I appreciate the work he does. And also John Murphy, who is the work shift coordinator, and always if you have questions, you can find him and make arrangements if you forgot or you need to switch a work shift. And also, last but not least for the shout-out, is Becca Morris, who's doing Vespers childcare, which all you have to do when you go out here to see this entire play area with kids happy while you're in here enjoying Vespers. So it's a big job, and with work shift people, the coordination of that, it makes it very supportive for our parents. That's all I have.